Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. So here's the good news. Yesterday, we talked about the Central High Jazz Band, and they're trying to get to New York City, where they're competing. One of 30 bands across the world to be invited to compete, and you had to audition. So there's it was an accomplishment, a massive accomplishment to get this honor. Now they had to raise $30,000 to get there. And it's an under-resourced school. So we put out the call here on the radio show, but also over at the Daily Memphian. And right now, on the GoFundMe, $37,535 raised. And the part that's really so unbelievably wonderful about it is that there are some very big donations. There's I just saw a $1,000 donation pop over the screen. But most of it is $150, $50, $100, $20, $20, $15, $20, $25, $25. Like, that's what most of it is. There are 342 donations. And so any of you who donated, that's wonderful. If you didn't, that's wonderful too. I would urge you to continue to support Memphis City Schools, Memphis Shelby County Schools, as much as possible. And if you can find places to support them, ways to get involved, that is great. But made me feel glad in my heart yesterday to see that unfold. Jeffrey, today on the radio show, let's see, we got to Jason Smith in the next segment. I heard them yesterday. See, what happened is I'm normally on their show on Monday, right? But when they ask me to pop on Thursday, because whatever, I'll do it. Like, I'm a yes guy. I try to say yes to stuff, right? But before I came on, they were saying, not complaining exactly, but pointing out that I have the better deal. I get a 2-for-1 deal. Like, I'm Arkansas football and as compared to Memphis,
because you
right?
get both Jason and John.
Because I get Jason and John. So maybe my flexibility is totally appropriate, given that I... And that is a fair point, maybe a little bit pointed to bring it up, or maybe they just felt bad about imposing on me on a Thursday. But anyway, Jason is going to be on with us.
You think John felt bad?
No, you're right. No, that's a fair point. Jason's going to be on with us, and well-timed, too, because we got some Memphis Tigers stuff that we have to talk about. Memphis Grizzlies, we got that to talk about as well. They got the Pelicans, and Chris Harrington will talk to us about that. All-star starters were revealed. No shock, Jaren wasn't among them. That never was really a possibility that he would be an all-star starter. Now the question will he be an all-star reserve? We will talk about the weekend as they got the Pelicans and the Jazz, and we will talk about the all-star situation. We will do that. And then, I'm a superstitious guy.
Yeah, I figured this was related.
I'm a superstitious guy. Last week, Fishman had to bow out.
Yep.
And I put...
He did make up.
Young son... He did make up. I put young son Peter
yep.
on in his stead. Similarly curious, similarly intellectually engaged, and has the advantage, unlike Charles, of being a devout Buffalo Bills fan.
Correct.
I raised that kid right.
Yes.
It really gives me.
Well, and let's give Peter credit. Also, he could have chosen any other life.
He could have chosen any other life.
He was discerning.
It gives me great pleasure. I mean, really immense pleasure. And I don't know how many of you mothers and fathers out there feel the same way, that my kids adopted my team. And it's a little different, I think, when your team isn't the local team.
Sure.
Right? You know what I mean?
Because there's extra effort.
Because, yeah, you're not, yep. they went to Buffalo for Christmases for every year.
It's not
year.
Convenient, but
it's
in
not
general.
Convenient. It's not all their friends are
exactly.
rooting for the Bills. And it was an interesting, I didn't buy them Bill stuff when they were little. I didn't, like you're dressed, you're starting her right.
Right.
She was in the Bills.
But I'm also actively pushing her away from the Giants.
Oh, I see. Here's
I don't want her. Correct.
This is a, don't choose this
well,
life.
I mean, Josh is what, 27?
I don't know. Long haul. Let me ask you this. Right now, if you were born today, don't you think the life of a Giants fan would be better than the life of a Bills fan?
See, you're falling into the trap. This is what the Maras and the Tishes do. They make you believe that it's actually a good franchise. When you look at it historically, it's like, okay, you had Charlie Connerly. They won a bunch of games. They sucked.
Oh, no, they've sucked. They've had a lot of sucking.
Right. And then in the modern football era, they've had Lawrence Taylor. Guess what? They were good.
Uh-huh.
And then they had Eli Manning.
And they were good. Yeah, okay.
It's a lot of sucking.
But the Bills is the same thing. Bills have sucked most of the time. And I'm just saying, okay, well, let's.
But you have an independently wealthy owner.
No, you've got a crappy owner.
Correct.
Just look at the Sabres. It's pure luck. He is literally the worst NHL owner, and he's a good NFL owner. And that's because.
And it makes no sense.
He lucked into. It's just like when Ralph Wilson had a moment of glory, it's because he lucked into Bill Polian as the GM.
Sure.
Before that, it had a bunch of schlock. But I wanted to ask this question. Child born today into the world, and in baseball, okay. basketball, football, we're just taking those.
All right.
We're leaving out college football for now. Now, we'll include college football. You want to ensure this child
is a winner,
has happiness.
Okay.
Right. You would bequeath on them, and they there has to be no integrity to this. We're just going for wins.
Just
going for wins. Any college or pro programs, you can have them be fan, but only like it would be Duke basketball. It's not, you know, whatever. It would be Alabama football. It would be the Green Bay Packers. Three winning teams. Who would you say, I'm going to make this kid a fan of blank?
Okay, so in football,
there would be no. First of all, you would not find an NFL team in this.
I almost wonder though.
Parity is so.
But I wonder if it's the Packers. Like the Packers do not have the high end.
No,
Jeff, they never suck. I think part of this is also.
But look at the factors.
No owner.
Literally, no owner is
correct.
You'd make them. There is integrity to being a Packers fan too. Well, like for example, would you make them a Cardinals fan? Like, Cardinals fan has been the best thing ever for the longest time because
yeah.
you got to be winning
no.
and you didn't have to deal with
Doyers.
The, well, we just spend more. How about the Dodgers? Look at them
Doyers.
Right now.
Doyers.
What?
Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Yes.
Right, yes. Very clear.
Yes.
I think the Dodgers
yes.
would be number one.
Yes.
In
baseball.
I wouldn't want to create another Dodgers
no, no,
fan.
No,
the world doesn't need them.
No.
But if I'm just trying to create happiness, you go with the sport that is the most one-sided.
Yes.
And you find the team that has the biggest payroll. It would
right.
either be a Dodgers or a Yankees, and you can't be
I
both.
Don't know, because now that George Steinbrenner doesn't own the team, the kids are fighting, and they don't have the money that he did.
And then I think, so we got one baseball team. I think another place where you're looking for places where the world is slanted in your
yes.
favor. So you pick a college football team or a college basketball team.
So when college football, yes. So in college
what
football.
What college football team would you pick?
I would like to submit a new team to the hierarchy of you can't outspend them. I think it's a really good time to be a Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think now that it's opened up and
really?
You can do it above board.
Better than anything else?
So the options
better
to
than
me,
Texas?
Better fight song.
We're just going wins here. We're not going intent. There's no other factor.
You get to make your schedule.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with the SEC.
You get to make your own schedule.
They'll still be, they're still in a cold place. You don't think that matters? Like it used to be. But, how are we going to get Florida kids
so
to come up here?
I guess this would be
Ohio State.
You were asking.
Name.
You were asking for wins.
I'm asking for wins.
I'm making the assumption this child is largely watching on television because, as we said, geography's not playing.
No, no,
into
no
this.
I'm talking about the players recruited. They're not sitting in the stands. You don't think it's going to still?
Nah, I think because
they didn't have as many dudes as Ohio State did. Not close to as many dudes as Ohio State did. You think that's changing?
Yes, I do.
Is there any other team that you'd make a fan
of? Ohio State would be up there. Michigan would be up there.
Okay, if you had to pick a NFL team, you'd go Packers?
I think I'm going Packers. How many teams have won? So you have the Niners.
It is funny. Big
teams
market
have won multiple,
doesn't seem to matter at
but
all.
Like how many?
How about Lakers or Knicks? How about an NBA team?
Well,
you'd make them a Lakers fan, wouldn't you? No. Lakers,
no.
I'm not dealing with any of the other nonsense. I'm just dealing with weird.
I'm answering
purely
the question.
In it for wins.
Correct.
I'd go with the Lakers. I'd
don't
make him
think
a Lakers
so.
Fan. I'd
I think
him,
you have.
This makes me want
to
throw up. But I'd
no,
make him
I
a Lakers fan, a Dodgers
Warriors.
Fan.
I think the Warriors. Because,
really?
Because
or is that just an accident of Steph?
No, it's now become a financial thing. Because it maybe it's an accident of Steph that gets them to this position. But the Lakers don't have money at the level you would think.
Anyway, all of this is by way of
saying.
I think
we can all agree we're not making him a Jags fan.
And I would not want my kid to be any of those fans. Just like, maybe in some ways you don't want your kid to grow up rich. He has too much. Like they get become spoiled, whatever else. I actually think it is Ooh. Good to have a little integrity. But that's
listener
a separate question.
Should,
oh, what?
Steelers. They never
I think
suck.
They never suck. I think Steelers is a good answer.
Stability.
Yeah. We don't get to count the wonderful blue collar aspect of being a Steelers fan.
We're just talking pure wins and losses.
We're just going okay. Here's the point, though. We had him on last week,
and the Bills won.
And the Bills won. Who am I? If we've got a formula, who am I to tamper with the formula? You got the Chiefs this weekend, and so we will get young Peter's thoughts on
now. Listen, on the I just want you to know this conversation's out there. I obviously don't feel this way, but I wanted you to know many people out there are asking if this is manipulating and therefore hurting the Bills because Peter was on Tuesday. You've now
switched
it to a Friday.
Right, that's a good point. Whether I'm tempting
many
faith.
People are asking that, not me.
Anyway, and by the way, he's the one I was come out and said the Emperor has no clothes with Zach Edey. And so we'll ask him was continuing jihad against Zach Edey. But anyway, that's the lineup for today. We do have a Memphis Tigers game to talk about. I was invited to speak at the Village, the retirement community, last night, and so I did because I like to accept as many invitations as possible. What that meant was I watched up to the first half. And then literally I got updates from the crowd in the second half, and then I went back and watched the rest. And obviously, listen, we have been to the, they had the great non-conference schedule, season, results, whatever. And then we go to the conference schedule, and it's been one mediocre to sub-mediocre performance after another, right?
I'm setting aside FAU. That was dominant,
emphatic and dominant.
Yes.
And the reaction of that, whatever your reaction of that has been your reaction to that. Like you could have been alarmed. You could have said no big deal. My tendency has been to say human nature. What do you expect? Whatever else. And so I've been kind of forgiving of these performances. Others have been more alarmed. I don't know how you can watch what happened last night, given that Penny spent the entire week talking about turnovers, to see them commit 20 turnovers. First half, which is the half I watched live, 14 turnovers and 2 assists.
We can also agree both ways. That was a disgusting half of basketball.
It was a disgusting half of basketball. But it is, at this point, getting to be alarming. One of the odd things is that before the Temple game, he was talking all about how we have to get up for everybody.
Yep.
And then they don't. Like, whatever the emphasis seems to be, well, this time it was turnovers, they, like, do the opposite. You know, we are going to focus on fixing the turnovers, and then it is a flagrant display of just crazy passing. Like, it's not like they're being forced into the turnovers. It's just absolutely incredibly maddening. You just almost can't believe you're watching what you're watching. Who shows up and just throws the ball around? Truly, if you were playing at the Y, you wouldn't expect there to be that many turnovers. It's just crazy. On their first 15 possessions, they turned it over 7 times. Like, what in the world? If they had just met, you would have expected no more turnovers than they actually had. It was staggering.
I got a theory.
What's your theory?
So, because we know that the conference, we know that there's not another roster that competes with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as they've gotten into conference play, it's trying to make highlight plays. Whereas when they were going up against the better teams, they were more careful. It's not like...
I buy this. I buy the old, because what I've really... I didn't think they would be able to fix their offensive rebounding, because they're not a team that's built to offensive rebound.
That's
right?
Also largely physical.
It's physical, right. But it always struck me that turnovers are a matter of focus, attentiveness, all of that, right?
Discipline.
Discipline. And if you want to look at last night as an example of that, well, they had 14 in the first half. It gets to be alarming. And so what do? They're a little more focused on the second half, and they only have 6. If it's simply, and yet, given that we see it every damn game, wouldn't you think at some point, even if you're not playing UConn, when you know that is the issue, that you would be focused in on it? And here's the thing. What really struck me was I was listening to the postgame show on the radio. And Penny says slightly different things to the assembled media than he does on the radio.
Sure.
He didn't say this in the... What he said was, I've been coaching him wrong. That's not the exact quote. It might have been an exact quote, actually. I think it is an exact quote. I've been coaching him wrong. And he said, when I was a player, Finch sat us down and said, the ball's got to go through me. You know, he told the team. Like, he said, and I just have been coaching this team wrong. That I need to do the same thing and say the ball has to go through Haggerty and Hunter. And we're going to change. Starting this week, I know the secret. We're going to change. Not this week, this weekend. You got UAB Sunday. Massive game, I guess. Relatively speaking, given what their schedule is, it is a massive game. And I'm going to fix that. And the ball is now going to go through Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty. That's the fix. To which I would say two things. One, makes sense to me at one level, right? Like, I always, sometimes, in fact, when the game is getting out of hand, I find myself saying, why the hell isn't P.J. Haggerty getting the ball every time? Like, I don't want to jinx him, faith in him when he has it. Although he committed a bunch of turnovers last night, too, 5 of them. And Hunter had 3 last night. Dane Danger, big man, had 5. But here's the thing.
I would also point out, Dane Danger, if you consider the amount of time the ball's in someone's hands.
No. It's Dane's, much more.
That's
it's
a weighted.
It's crazy how often he turns it over. Like, at least with Haggerty and Hunter, the ball's in their hand all the time.
Almost every
possession. So, but with Dane Danger, it's holy smokes. Players are obviously trying to do too much, and they're not. So the two things I would ask about it are this. Is this a little late to be midway through the season after you've, by the way, already had a wildly successful non-conference season to be saying, all right, I've been coaching wrong, we're doing this change, and now it's going to always... Is that concerning, or is he, in fact, just a matter of emphasis, tweaking what they're doing, and it's just a matter of emphasis?
I don't think it's too late because they haven't actually done real damage yet. Where I start to think it's too little too late is when you start stacking up losses and you go, well...
But isn't this something that you start working on when you start practicing? And you say, we demand precision in our in the way we handle the ball. Like, do you think... isn't... And this gets me to the larger issue. And this was called to my attention by the folks at the Daily Memphian, my colleagues at the Daily Memphian, who delved into Penny's history and Penny's history of coaching teams and where it ranks in terms of turnovers. By the way, Grizzlies before last night were 327th.
Tigers,
I'm sorry. 327th. And
the Grizzlies
averaged 14.4 a game. Okay. And then if you compare that to the top 10 teams in the country, Auburn's 9.3, Duke is 10.1, Iowa's 10.1.
So you're telling me the best teams in the country don't give away possessions
14 times a game, nearly 15 times a game. Okay, here's the year by year assists to turnovers per game. I'll just give you the turnovers per game.
All right,
the first year of Penny, 15.
Okay,
second year of Penny, 16.5. Third year of Penny, 15.6. Fourth year of Penny, 16. Then got it down to 13.3.
Shout out.
And then, last year, shockingly, 13.1. And this year, 14.7. But basically, every single year, they turn the ball over a crazy amount. And then if you look at where they rank nationally under Penny, first year, 318th, second year, 345th, third year, 314th, fifth year, 352nd. Those two where they got it down to 13, like 13.3 and 13.1, which are the 2 years prior to this one, they were 269th and 298th. So it may be better, but it ain't exactly good. And this year, 327th, before last night's game. Does this not establish, without a shadow of a doubt, that Penny doesn't coach his teams to not turn the ball over?
Well, I mean,
it is part of the Penny Hardaway way.
You've also made this point. Penny was a high turnover guy, even
and
in
Penny
his career.
Was a high turnover guy himself. They don't. They are not a. Listen, you just use your eyeballs. They are not a highly disciplined offensive team that runs sets, and that if you cut the wrong way or make the coach drills down, that's not how we do it. That's not Memphis Tiger basketball. What they do is they focus on defense, and by God, the defense saved them last night. They forced 22 turnovers. They went on.
So they were plus two.
So they went plus two. They went on a 12-2 run to save their ass. Like, we would be talking about this as what we're talking about it now is alarming and worrisome.
But you've done no damage yet.
But it's not, yes, exactly. It's not a disaster.
Correct.
It's like you drove drunk on the way home, and you got home, the car is there, nothing happened, nothing bad happened. But how about not driving drunk again? But the stats seem to indicate...
You got home and your wife's yelling at you.
This is, yes, well, should, appropriately. Yeah. And you know that if you keep doing this, you're going to run into something and maybe, you know, what to do real damage. So,
well, maybe not in this league.
What about the fact that, like, Penny is talking about this like it's some revelation that this team I've been coaching wrong. It's not some revelation. Every team he's been coaching. If keeping down turnovers is the goal, and again, like, team's been, it's a top 25 team. I'm not being critical in any macro way of Penny. I think it's been a very good year. But in terms of this specific thing, in the end, it would be more surprising if the team did take care of the ball than that they don't. This is exactly what, not only is this exactly what every Tiger team does, it's not close to the worst Tiger team. It's, in fact...
It's par for the course.
It's totally par for the course in Tiger teams. You have... of these Tiger teams, more or less, there's 3 years when they've turned the ball over more than this. Well, wait, let's see. More in his first year, more in the second year, more in his third year, more in his fourth year. So, yeah, the first 4 years of every single year was worse than this year. Then he had a little dip to, instead of being in the 300s, you're in the 200s in the country. So I don't know. Do you believe this is something? Because I do, in the end, agree with you that it is a matter fundamentally of focus, caring about the basketball, right? It's making that a priority. And I do think, Penny at the end of his conversation with Dave said, Dave said, and I hope we'll see fewer turnovers Sunday. And he said, you will. Like, it was definitive. And I'm willing to go out on a limb and say, I think there will be fewer than 20 turnovers against UAB on Sunday.
And I don't know, because UAB is going to play at a faster rate. Like, that's the other thing. This was 20 turnovers in a game that didn't have a blistering pace.
Well, like I said, seven of the first 15 possessions.
That is unbelievable. Every other possession, you
booted it.
Correct. Now, I do wonder if there's also a style of play issue in that, okay, they're going to play, like, let's be real, like, chaotically. Like, defensively, very aggressive. And everything's kind of sped up. I would imagine that nature always is going to increase turnovers.
Yeah, I don't know, though. Like, well, I mean, we've seen this. The Grizzlies are now committing more turnovers as well.
Right.
But not at this crazy rate. It's not.
Yeah, but also NBA players are more skilled. Like, the fact that the Grizzlies are committing that many turnovers is almost, I mean, in the end, it's almost alarming. Because
Penny gives his players great freedom. He just does. And let's be honest, and they maybe don't merit it. You know, I think he gives them an unusual amount of freedom.
Yeah.
And I don't think what's happening is. I think what the change that he's going to make, which does make sense to me, is going to be one of emphasis, right? It's like, yo, let's not be flinging the ball to Musa on the break. You know, let's be a little more prudent. Let's make sure that PJ Haggerty or Tyrese touch the ball every possession. Like,
they may stop Dane from passing.
He stops himself from passing, typically.
Yeah.
Tap passing isn't. But anyway, so the good news is, and this is the good news,
they're separating?
They did this and maybe created a sense of urgency around this topic without doing real damage.
Are you saying a teaching opportunity?
It is, in fact. I know they say L's are, what are the learns?
They're not losses, Jeff. They're lessons. Learned.
They're lessons. I think this might have been close enough to an L that this one is what's going to create a different level of focus going forward. So they got the lesson without having to get the loss. That would be like maybe they threaded the needle perfectly. They can no longer be complacent, no longer think that the way they've been doing things is good enough, and instead they're going to finally have to make some changes and value the basketball. Other things that happened last night, Colby Rogers did not have a triumphant game against his former team. One of 10 was Colby Rogers. PJ Carter actually came through and was an important part of this, including the shot that he banked in. So that was big. 7 points in 18 minutes. And they somehow managed to pull it out. But I would say it was alarming. Alarming? Are you going with me on alarming?
I'm not ready to say alarming, because I think for it to be alarming, it has to truly cost them. And they've still been able to kind of work their way out of these tailspins.
I'm going concerning. I'm going alarming. We'll see what Jason Smith has to say. Okay. The other news that we didn't get to from last night, again, the NBA All-Star starters were selected. LeBron, Steph, KD, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Jokic on the West. Brunson, Kat, Giannis, Tatum, and Mitchell in the East. Those are the starters. Now you get to pick three front court players, two guards, and two wild cards. And the challenge is, if you're just, if you could only, let's say those wild cards aren't used on front court players in the West, right? So you've got three front court players. Well, you got Wemby, who a lot of people thought would have been a starter, thought could have been a starter. You got AD. They're both making it, right?
I would think so.
And then you've got Sabonis, Sengun, and Jaren. Among them. And then others, I mean, you got Kyrie, you got Anthony Edwards. This is, again, like these are, well, for the guards and wild cards, you got Jalen Williams, Norm Powell's had a great year, De'Aaron Fox. Like, there are others here. But the challenges in particular is the bigs in the West, a pretty deep roster. And so I think Jaren will make it. But I think Taylor Jenkins is going to have to be lobbying other coaches on his behalf. The other news was that this was a little interesting. And what did you make of this? So Mark Spears at ESPN, they were discussing the continuing Jimmy Butler saga. And we always get an updated Jimmy Butler list.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was just a list of the teams he would go to. And then it became a list of the teams
he wouldn't go to. First, it was doesn't want to be traded, but if he were traded, here were some teams. Then it was the list of teams that he would go to.
And so, as this has continued to spiral off the rails, he's like, yesterday the news from Mark Spears was he just wants to get out of Miami. He will go anywhere, and then the P.S. except Memphis. So F you, Jimmy Butler. No, the question is, why is that? And I would posit three reasons, Jeffrey. One is, he knows that Memphis isn't going to give him a contract, and he wants a contract. Like, he knows the financial issues here, and they're not going to give him a new contract.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Is everybody else? I don't think everybody else is going to give him a new contract. I don't know that that's it. Anyway, so then another one is, he doesn't like the style of play, something about the team itself.
Okay. Stylistic.
Another one would be he doesn't want to be in the, you know, the smallest market in the city of from competitive teams. And the other is that he thinks Memphis is a hellhole.
Yeah. Again, I have no idea what he does or doesn't think.
Is Memphis on that list? Is the one
I think
team
the biggest,
on the list?
It's probably a lot, probably a combination of some of them. But I think the primary motivation is the fact that he's not going to get a new deal. That's in the end. Why does he want out of Miami?
He wants out of Miami. It's funny. Like, again, there's no mystery here. Literally, the moment he became disenchanted with Miami was when Pat Riley said, "We're not giving him an extension.
You've got a deal."
And but does that mean everybody else who would be dealing for him is going to give him a new deal? I think it's about market size, finances, et cetera. And by the way, there might be other teams on his list. Like, for example, New Orleans could be on his list, right? Except for New Orleans isn't one of the teams being considered. So you wouldn't have to say, except New Orleans. You wouldn't say, except for the Utah Jazz. I don't imagine the Utah Jazz would be on the list of teams that he would want to be traded to, right?
Baked into the question is the assumption the only people that we're going to trade for are contenders.
We're only talking about contenders.
Correct.
If he was to assemble an actual list of teams in the NBA that he did not want to be traded to, it would be every contender, every non-contender, and apparently the Memphis Grizzlies. So we'll ask Chris about this, although I'm getting a little weary of the topic, to be honest. But we got a busy day. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Jason Smith. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, and we got breaking news, Jeffrey. What's the breaking news? Tell the people.
Jeff, the Oakland Raiders have hired Pete Carroll to
also
be their head
Vegas
coach.
Raiders.
You correct me
so many times.
Vegas
and I'm
Raiders,
glad
yeah.
you do. That mm-hmm. It gives me great joy to be able to.
I'm just trying to keep track myself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the Raiders have hired who?
Pete Carroll. 73 years old.
As their head coach. Joined now by Jason Smith, Jason John, every single day from 11 to 2. I'm an avid listener myself. So you're going to be. This is something you're going to be talking to your. Colleague about, your partner about, when the show commences. What do you think?
Ha ha. Man, it was this time last week, I think, that maybe it was even you and I discussing it, that I thought I was getting Pete Carroll and he was getting Ben Johnson. I think that's kind of how we thought it was going to go.
What's so bad about Pete Carroll? Why are we laughing at Pete Carroll?
Been flipped. Well, I had talked myself into Pete Carroll. Stability. As Jeffrey just said, 73-year-old man going to breathe life into a moribund franchise. I mean, that's what, you know, it's the fact that they've, listen, I'm happy for Pete Carroll because he's obviously wanted to continue to coach in the NFL. He wanted to, you know, it seemed like that deal in Seattle was a bad deal for him just in the sense of what he had given that franchise, and they were ready to move on. It wasn't Pete Carroll ready to move on. So I'm happy for him just individually. Guy still seems like at 73, he's, you know, got the energy of a 33-year-old. So I have nothing about, you know, Pete Carroll in terms of his age should, I think, matters here because he's shown, man. I mean, he's still got plenty more juice. So what he'll bring is stability. But, yeah, you know, does he have a quarterback? Because in the end, doesn't matter if you're a coach that's won Super Bowls or one that hadn't done darn thing. You don't have a quarterback in this league. You're not going anywhere. So eager to see what the Raiders' plan will be at quarterback. John was pretty much resigned to the fact that we're getting Carroll yesterday, so I doubt we'll spend much
time
on him. Yeah, on him whining and pouting about getting him. But because that's what it's going to be until, you know, until they start. I'll tell you what, Brock Bowers, man. I mean, they got a dude in Brock Bowers. They got to get somebody to throw the ball to him, though.
Jeffrey, there was a tweet you were reading about the coaches in that division.
Mm-hmm.
What's it say?
The head coaches of the AFC West, you have Andy Reid, you have Sean Payton, you have Jim Harbaugh, and now Pete Carroll. Three of the four have won Super Bowls, and the fourth being Harbaugh's won a national title and been to a Super Bowl.
That's a pretty distinguished. What do we think, by the way, of the Brady connection here? Like, did we imagine Pete Carroll would be someone that Brady would settle on?
No, and I think, it sounds like that Brady's guy was Ben Johnson from everything we've heard. And Fitzy talks to folks that are both within the organization, but also the folks that cover the Raiders, and, you know, had us all thinking, just like the Athletic and ESPN predicted, that was going to get it done. Was that Ben Johnson was going to be head of the Raiders because Tom Brady was enamored with him. And I don't know, Jeff, if it was necessarily, I mean, clearly part of it is Caleb Williams. Like, the Bears quarterback situation seems to be a little bit more stable. And in games against Detroit, kid threw for like 680 yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, no picks. You know, no picks in those games. So Ben Johnson sees something he likes. However, if this $13 million that Pro Football Talk has put out that they've given Ben Johnson per year, and that's not a, I mean, that's a number that's out there, it'd make him the 7th highest paid coach in the league. It sounds like the Bears outbid as well. They dropped the bag for Ben Johnson. So maybe they were willing to offer more in this case, surprisingly so, a historically cheap franchise. In this case, that we're going to go get our man. So I think the bag might have had just as much to do with it as the, and Chris Canty has gone on about that. I think it does. It had to have a huge influence in this decision. You're paying him more than his boss, Dan Campbell, if $13 million per year is right. An unproven guy who's never been a head coach before. So it's quite the gamble, but I'll tell you what, it looks like they outbid teams to get Ben Johnson.
Is CJ a Bears fan? You did that, right? You accomplished that this year.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, so, and what we cemented it with the win over Carolina, right, up in Chicago on a sunny Sunday before the bottom fell out. Actually, there was, at that point, the Bears were on their way to 4-2 start, and then the Washington Hail Mary and everything goes, and look at Washington from there. My goodness!
I asked the question because I'm having my son Peter on to discuss the Bills, and I asked this: if you could. If a child was born today, we asked this earlier, and you didn't care about anything but making sure that kid over their lifetime had, and starting at when they become conscious, so the next 7 years don't matter. It's only when they really, but you want them to have as many wins as possible. Yep. Who would you make them a fan of in the NFL?
Probably the Steelers. You guys, I think, nailed it there toward the. I mean, 49ers don't. I know this year was down,
bad.
But you can
it's
look
not
at
bad.
This. But, but they're always winning. But I you have to go Steelers. I mean, you just look at what I said. What we, I think, most of us said about the Steelers this year, that, man, between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, you don't have a quarterback. You know, you don't have one good quarterback between the two of them. He goes 4-2 with Fields. And then gets them to the playoffs the rest of the way. And I'd still tell you, I mean, I don't think moving on with either one of them is the right answer. It's Mike Tomlin. It's that organization. They've only had 3 coaches because they win. They don't fire coaches. And so, I mean, I'd hate to do it. There's enough Steelers fans in this town and in this country.
we don't need to create any more.
My mom tried to make me one as a little boy early on before my dad had the better of it, making me a Bears fan. But I tell you what, it'd have been a much better existence if I'd gone my mom's way and been a Steelers fan.
All right. So last night at FedEx Forum was not a work of art, and I have been willing to pronounce it as alarming. And we delved a little bit into not just the turnovers this year, but over Penny's tenure. This is what happens literally every single year. Was it alarming to you? What descriptor would you attach?
Just to pick a different word than you guys, I would go frightening.
Frightening.
I would go scary. And especially, again, you hit it on the head that's so scary to me, Jeff, is that they spent the whole week trying to clean this up. And then you go 7 turnovers in your first 15 possessions of the game. I mean, that's 14 turnovers and 2 assists in the first half is crazy bad. Like, that's awful. Not to mention, you get out-rebounded again for, I think, the 4th time in 6 AAC games, and you look at what's coming down the pike on Sunday.
That's the problem.
And that is what UAB does. They pound you on the glass. They're one of the best offensive
rebounding. 8th in the country in offensive rebounding rate.
And
it's eighth in the country.
It's Yaxel Lindenborg. It was the guy that Penny apparently tried to go after, you know, after the season, their big center. What they do well is what your weakness is. And so those two things. One thing you tried to clean up, because, Jeff, you're right, you and I have discussed this. I don't know that you can fix your rebounding issue other than to tell your guards to stick their nose in there. You got 3 bigs And they are what they are. I mean, you're not going to all of a sudden become some great rebounding team. But the turnovers thing, after you ran guys for doing it in practice and you said we've got to focus, we've got to have a greater sense of urgency in terms of taking care of the ball, value each possession, to see that in terms of the response. Now, they cleaned it up in the second half, only had six of them. Defense keeps you in the game. But that was as bad in terms of taking care of the ball, a first half of basketball I've ever seen from a Memphis Tigers team. So how are you not, you know, at least alarmed, concerned, especially when you bring in the caveat that this is something that Penny said we're going to get cleaned up, and it was his net. They've had 15 or more turnovers in five of their six AAC games. They lead the AAC in turnovers, you know, 14, almost 15 a game. Crazy. By far. It's just gotten to a point where it's almost maddening in the sense that it's happening over and over again. And as you pointed out, and we have pointed out, It kind of happens on a year-to-year basis. The outlier has been the Kendrick Davis year. And I think there was one other year where they weren't awful. But for the most part, you know, turnovers have not been they have been a glaring weakness for Penny Hardaway teams. And it was on full display last night in the first half.
Yeah, the last 2 years, they were down to 13.3 2 years, the Kendrick Davis year, and then 13.1 last year. That's not beautiful, by the way. That's 269th and 298th. But every other year, they've been in the 300s. You've always said what?
I've always thought that you can get away with 12 to 15. But when you're averaging essentially 15 this year, I mean, it's up over 14, getting close to 15, because they've turned it up in the AAC. I mean, you are crazy. Giving opponents extra opportunities and keeping them in games, giving them belief they shouldn't have. Just, you know, we've seen it time and time again, and we're seeing it even more often in the AAC than we did. They only had 15 or more turnovers, I think, five times in the first 13 games in all of the non-conference. You've done it five of your first six in the AAC. This is getting worse. So that to me is scary.
Okay, so Penny has a new plan. And the new plan is,
oh boy,
he announced this with, and I'm not even, I actually think it's a tweak that makes some sense to me, but it's a little, it also seems a little belated, but whatever. He said the ball is now always, every possession is going to go through Tyrese Hunter or PJ Haggerty. That's what he said on the post game with.
Thank God.
That seems to make sense to me. Right.
Thank God. How are we not here already? Is what I would say. I mean, I think that seems obvious, but you like to hear it. I'm surprised. He's like, now I bet it was like a light bulb. Who should it run through? He's the third leading scorer. What is it? Second, third leading scorer in the country. And Tyrese Hunter has shown that, he is a gamer. You know, they're toward the end of that game, and Tyrese Hunter and PJ will both turn the ball over. We know that. I mean, you have to live with it. But Tyrese makes huge plays, a couple of huge steals at the end. Those guys are gamers. I guess who else would you run it through other than those two? And so there's a little bit of, you know, I'm surprised that this is, you know, Penny's, you know, I guess he did this with radio, didn't do it necessarily in the presser. But I'm surprised you're presenting this as something new, because it seems like that's been the plan the entire time. Where I get frustrated, and last night clearly the analysts were, in terms of television, is like a lot of these turnovers, and Memphis has been this too, but let's be real, you're not running sets. You're running one-on-one, whether it's PJ or Tyrese, and a guy gets caught jumping in the air, a guy is cut out of position. You know, this happens all the time. But then you've got Dane Danger trying to dribble the ball, you know, the length of the court, half court, whatever else. You know, these unforced ones too that it's just like I said, we're past the point of frustration, past the point of saying this has got to be corrected, and yet you still can't do it. So I don't know, man. It looked like they were doing that already. I would tell you this. It feels like you have, and I know he played poorly last night. He did have eight rebounds, but Dane was turning the ball over too much. But when things are as ugly offensively as they were in the first half for Memphis, it just seems like you're equipped in a way that some other teams, Memphis teams, or Penny Hardaway teams too, haven't been in that. You have a guy you can throw it to in the post. It's almost, you guys said it. It's when Dane Danger tries to do too much that he starts to, is this going to work and everything else? But put him in the post and throw the ball to him when the offense is struggling, and see if you've got a guy there like it looks like that can, you know, get you a bucket in the post when things are bad. I don't understand. I know we're talking about running it more through PJ and Tyrese. Seems like we've been doing that. How about you've got a semblance of a half-court offense, at least in terms of a low-post scoring threat, and Dane Danger, I'm not sure why we're not seeing more of that. A lot of times, though, Dane will take himself out of position. I realize that. But Man, it just seems like that, you know, there should be, whether it's PJ Tyrese or Dane in a half court set, answers offensively in situations like last night, and didn't feel like they had any other than to just keep chunking it up there.
Okay, so the good news is that we get this urgency, this alarm, this whatever else goes off without any real damage being done. And now they got UAB coming in, noon game, stripe out game, throwback game. They're going to be wearing the Memphis State stuff. And this team, let's be honest, like after the Mississippi State game, when Penny said they were for different reasons embarrassed, they felt punked in that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? They came out and they played Ole Miss.
Punked Ole Miss, yeah.
And they punked Ole Miss. Yeah, or yeah, whatever. They didn't punk, but they played their best, certainly their best home game of the year, really, I think, so. in beating Ole Miss. Do you expect, because I sort of do expect them to come out with real ferocity on Sunday. Your thoughts?
I hope so. You know, and certainly a large home crowd or a nice home crowd can help with that, because I do think, you know, energy from the get-go can help you in a game. Listen, you're right. It's a big game now. I know UAB got off to a start that we were laughing at, but they're legit 5-1 in this AAC, and again, they're back to doing what they do, which is clubbing you on the board. So you've got to. I mean, this is as big a game as you're going to have in the AAC. I know some of those road games will qualify higher in terms of like the Temple game be a quad two. This one not, but it's as big as it gets. It's the preseason favorite. Again, you can laugh at that if you want to, based on their non-con. But Andy's got them playing well. Wouldn't call them hottest team, one of the hottest teams in the country, like he went as far to say. But I'm with you, Jeff, that, I mean, even after Temple, at least early on in that Charlotte game, there seemed to be some urgency. I know you let them back in the game, but you seemed on your way to understanding, okay, we got to respond. You know, we can't just loll around in this AAC. Hopefully, yes, you get that kind of response. But again, the Tigers, and back to the crowd thing, you know, the Tigers got to get them something early to get into it for. I mean, that's the thing. We're almost stunned now that this thing seems to be going in a direction you don't like offensively. Like, you look worse now than you did early in the season when it looked like you're making backdoor cuts and finding guys, you know, in the Mauis. Like, what, you know, you're so again, it'd be nice to look a little better, not turn the ball over on 7 of your first 15 possessions so you get that crowd in that game. But hopefully there's energy there, Jeff. There was none last night. You certainly didn't help with that yourself. And against a team like UAB that can pound you on the boards, hopefully you've got that. It was there for that Ole Miss game. It's, you know, Memphis has got it. You know, it's within them to do this, but it's going to take a valiant effort, both in taking care of the ball, not giving up extra possessions, but also just inside and not getting pushed around to the degree that UAB is just did UTSA. I think it was, what, 17 offensive rebounds, something from 14, 17, something crazy like that. You just cannot let them manhandle you. You figure you're going to get out-rebounded, but, again, go out. This is your home court. I'm with you. Hopefully it'll be a solid response.
Jason, thanks very much. I'll be listening. Appreciate
Take care,
it.
Brother.
Yeah, Jason Smith, Jason John, every single day from 11 until 2. You don't hate the Pete Carroll hire? You're not a...
I do not hate it. Like, in the end, they have a real roster problem, more right. so than anything. And
He's there for 3 years, right?
That is a three-year deal, yes.
Yeah, and then probably is there for 3 years.
So, I mean, you're basically trying to rebuild the roster.
Yeah, now the question is he going to? I think he brings enthusiasm, organization, et cetera. The question is will he bring too much of that for you to get Arch Manning, right? You know what
sure.
I mean? That's the question. Is he going to get you somehow to 6 wins, which doesn't necessarily do you any good because you don't have a quarterback, and so there's a limit on what you could achieve. But anyway, we'll talk to Chris Harrington coming up next about the Grizzlies and more, and then we'll talk a little NFL and more. I'm indulging myself. My son Peter, who brought us good luck last week because the Bills were able to triumph over the Ravens, but it's the big one this week, and so we'll see what he thinks. We'll get Jeffrey's thoughts as well on the Bills and the Chiefs and more. It is the Jeff Calkins Show. Back in a moment. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.